I completely understand that to lots and lots of people, these are very large sums. But we are a broadcaster, a global broadcaster in a very competitive market, and we have to be competitive, but not foolishly. No one would want us to be paying sums where, you know, it's not at a discount of the market. People expect us to have great broadcasters, great presenters, great stars, but pay them less than they will get in the market. So getting that discount right is really important.
Well, exactly. And you're saying two different things there, aren't you? Because you're saying on the one hand, it's a market. On the other hand, people do work for the BBC, are prepared to work for the BBC at a discount to what they might get elsewhere. And Gary Lineker, for example, has tweeted today that he has turned down higher offers from privately owned broadcasters that are much higher because I love my job. And Chris Evans has said something similar. So couldn't you be paying them a lot less than you are?
Well, those, as I say, what we've been doing over the last 4 years is reducing the amount of money we're paying overall for our top talent.
Yes, but it's still high, isn't it?
And we've reduced that by 25% over 4 years. But let me tell you, we are in a market. We do lose people. It's important, therefore, we also bring on new talent. But we're seeking to get a balance here between the spending of public money, which we've got to take really carefully and really seriously, and also making sure we've got the right faces on screen and the right people behind the microphone, because people also expect the very best from the BBC. And that's why, by the way, we won 19 out of 25 BAFTAs last year, because people want quality from us.
So if you think you've got the balance right, can you say that when these details come out today and we see people's names against these bans of £50,000, that every one of those people is worth every penny of the licence fee that they earn?
I'm satisfied with all of the 96 people on the list and what they're being paid. But I will say this. One is be very, very careful, because trying to compare names with what they're paid is actually very difficult. It's one of the reasons we said this was a bad idea, because previously we've actually published all the people and their salaries, but not by naming them, but in bands. We think this is very, very difficult because, you know, there's one person doing one job, sitting next to another person doing another job. They may be doing different other programmes. They may be doing different rotas, different days.
Or
they may not be. So comparisons are very, very hard. And that's one of the worries we've got to manage and help through today.
I mean, you fought against releasing these details and you called it a poacher's charter. What about where there is no obvious commercial equivalent? What is the commercial equivalent to Radio 2 or Radio 4, for that matter?
Well, if you talk to some presenters or agents and so on, and other broadcasters as well, and of course, part of the difficulty we've got is, or the public has in judging this, is it's only us publishing these things. It's not anybody else publishing it. No, the reason we were against that, against this, was we thought it was going to be inflationary. You've had one agent today saying she believes that as well. And also we believed it would tempt other people with deep pockets to come after our talent, and I think other people who've got experience of broadcasting say that
already,
too.
And people often say no,
listen,
don't they?
But listen, my view is that argument, we lost that argument. We won many, many arguments on the charter. We lost that one. Let's get on with it.
The question I asked you is, what is the commercial equivalent to Radio 2 or Radio 4?
There are commercial radio stations who will pay large amounts of money for top talent, and it's up to them to say whether they want to say that or announce that or make that clear to their publics. That's up to them, not for me. But there is a market out there in radio, as there is in television, and my point is it's increasingly a global market. You know, we lost a really great DJ from Radio 1 to Apple for a lot more money on the West Coast. It's not just a UK...
It's unusual, isn't it?
But it's happening. And
so would you expect to lose some of these 96 then over the course of the next year because they're going to now be poached?
I think... each year, we look at every programme, we look at the people presenting those programmes, we work out whether they're the right people doing those jobs, we work out what's appropriate to pay them. It's a continuing job.
Okay. You've acknowledged that the figures reveal a gender pay gap in that two-thirds of the highest earning presenters are men. How are you going to address the pay gap?
When I came back to the BBC, I said I wanted to get a balance between men and women presenting programmes like this programme, also with local radio, where I think 14% of the local radio stations had women doing their breakfast shows. We've now got that to 50%. Yes. This is something I believe very, very strongly.
Yes, which is a different point to the point I've put to you about the pay gap.
So what I've said is by 2020, we'll have equality between men and women on air, and we'll also have the pay gap sorted by then too. You might like to know, one of your commentators figures earlier on in the programme mentioned the fact that the average pay gap, gender pay gap for the UK was just over 18%. Our figure is 10%. Now, that's not audited. We can't actually audit it until the autumn, but ours is 10. So, you know, it behoves all of us in whatever company we're in to look at the gender pay gap and do something about it. And I'm committed to making sure we do things about it.
By 2020, you are going to close the gender pay gap as well as the gender gap in terms of men and women appearing on air. By putting the overall wage bill up?
We'll have to manage the overall wage bill. As you know very well, you know, the settlement we've got with the government means that we have flat funding for the next 5 years. We're going to have to manage as we do within our means. And one of the stories we'll be talking about at our annual report accounts today is just how well everybody in the corporation has been managing.
I'm not sure what that means, managing the in terms of managing the gender pay gap. I mean, does that mean you're going to be asking the men to take a pay cut?
We'll be working through case by case to ensure that I can sit here in 2020 and say to you and look you in the eye, more important, look our licence fee payers in the eye and say we have equality of pay between men and women. And by the way, equality across television and radio between men and women presenting our programmes, acting in our programmes. Some areas, by the way, we already have that. I mean, in drama, for example, it's already 50-50 between men and women in lead roles.
The overall pay for whether around 100 people could go up for the highest earning.
We have to manage within our means, and you know that, and I know that. We've got to look after public money very, very carefully. It's not ours, it's the licence fee payers.
Lord Hall, thank you very much.